You would this morning, turn your Bibles back over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, I want to read verses 20 through 31 this morning. Remember last week we talked about day four. We talked about the light, right, and how God had created the sun and the moon on day four. We see in verse 15, it says, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." And we talked about how that was reflective of the church and Christ, and how that we have been called, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and that we have been called as God's people to show forth His praises. We talked about what that praise was, what the praises of God was, and that was His perfection, His glory, His sinless perfection, and that we have been called to show that forth in our lives. We see, and we have probably felt this week, how hard that is. Why? Because we're in the flesh. We are in the flesh. We have this sinful nature that is present with us, and that this light of Christ that shines in our life is sometimes very much muffled by the nature of our old man, is it not? It is. And so we see that. We talked about that. And we need to remember that as we go into this part of the message. So beginning with verse 20, it says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now, let's just stop there for one second. I just want to go over something. When it says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I want us to understand that God did not create female because male was somehow incomplete, that male was somehow not completely an image of God. When God created Adam, he created as a perfect image of himself. And when he created Eve, she also, in and of herself, was an image of God. So we need to remember that as we read through this, that one was not made to somehow complete the image of the other, or that they were both created in the image of God. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's look this morning at verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, the first thing that we see here is that there's something different going on, right? When we read this, we have saw that God has commanded all these other things to come into existence, right? He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament. Let there be the stars and the moon and all these, the glory of the heavens. Let this happen. And it just happened, right? But now we see that God is not just commanding, but he is consulting here. Now, the first thing you would ask yourself is, who is God consulting with? Who in the world could God be possibly consulting with at this time? Because all there is God, right? All there is God in his solitariness. So who is he consulting? Well, first of all, I want us to see this as what it is. That God didn't have to pause here. God didn't have to stop here and say this. God could have spoke man into existence. God could have formed him just right now. He could have formed him without ever stopping and pausing for a minute. But this pause here, this stopping and consulting, is a testimony to the excellency of the creation of man. Now, so what is God doing here, really? God is taking on this round ball of dirt, okay, out in the middle of nowhere. And when I say that, you know, some of us think we live kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But when we talk about the earth now, and we look at the earth in the creation of God, and he has created the galaxies, he's created all this great mass of space and everything that fills it up. And we look at this little round ball of dirt out in the middle of nowhere, and God now is doing what? He is placing the crown jewel of his creation upon this little round ball. Okay? Now we just need to just kind of stop there and pause. And I think this is what God is doing here. He's drawing our minds, he's drawing our understanding to this fact that I have now placed man, I am going to form man upon this earth. Now stop, pause and think of that. Pause and think of that for a moment. We are made in the image of God. It's a testimony to the excellence of the creation of man. It really is. God could have commanded man into existence, but he did not do it that way. Just like that he created the earth in 6 days. He didn't have to do that way. He didn't have to create everything in 6 days. He could have done it in 1 day. He could have done it in 1 minute. 1 second. But God chose to do it in this manner that he might reveal something to us. And the same thing is true about how he spoke man into existence here. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, really, he's saying the same thing in two different ways. He's explaining that how we are created in the image of God by saying we are also made in his likeness. Let me try to explain this the best I can. There's a lot of different commentaries on how we are created in the image of God. There's a lot of different ways, but let me try to explain it the best way I can. And that is really, I need to start by explaining what the difference between Adam and Christ is. Okay, that's where we really need to start, because when you read the scripture, you find that man was created in the image of God. But you also see over there in Hebrews, where we just read, that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. So let's turn back over there to Hebrews chapter 3 real quick. And look at this for just a second. It says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, this is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. Now, you remember we talked about the sun last week, right? We talked about how that the sun is a picture here of God and His holiness, His perfection, and the moon is what? Is the church. But really, when we look at the moon, it is said that there is, when we walk outside at night and we look at the moon, we say, hey, look at the light of the moon. Or we are said to, we are walking by the light of the moon. So we attribute that light to the moon, but yet we know exactly where it came from, right? It came from the God of this Bible. It came from the sun, right? And we know where the church receives this righteousness that it has. Or if we are seen to be walking in a holiness or righteousness, we understand that, yes, that is attributed to us, but yet where does it come from? It's coming from Christ. It's coming from the glory of Christ. And so when we see this, it says, who being the brightness of His glory, I want us to understand that what Christ is and what this is saying is that He is really the rays of God. Okay, so when we're looking at the sun, we see the rays coming off of it, and the rays coming down and hitting the earth or hitting the moon. Okay, the rays are really what? They're the sun, right? They are the sun, but yet they're two separate identities, right? And when we look at what the Godhead is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we see this, the rays of the sun coming off of the sun, we realize that the rays are part of the sun. They are the sun. So this is the major difference here, and this is the difference between Adam and Christ. Adam is the sun. Okay? Christ is the sun, I'm sorry. Adam is a reflection of the sun. He is an image of the sun, whereas the Lord Jesus Christ is the sun. And it says, in the express image of His person. What does that word express mean? It means plain, clear, direct. He is that one that is revealed in the scripture. He said, what did He say? He said, if you've seen Me, what? You've seen the Father. So He is the express image of God. So when we look at Adam, we need to realize that the difference between Adam and Christ is that Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is God. And Adam is a picture of God. He's an image. He's a representation. So when we look at what Adam was really a viceroy. Now, when I say that, everybody's probably, you young people especially, you're probably thinking, you're thinking Star Wars, right? You're thinking, okay, I've heard that word, viceroy. But yet, what does that word really mean? What does that word mean? It is the governor of a kingdom or country who rules in the name of the king with regal authority as the king's substitute. So Adam is one who was placed on this earth to have dominion over the earth, right? To subdue the earth, to have dominion over the earth, to rule over the earth for the king, right? But yet, when we look at Christ, what is Christ? He is the king. He is the king. So there's the difference between the two. Adam was one who was put on this earth as an image of God. He was made in the image of God. And he is told to subdue and to have dominion over the earth. And so we see this. When we look at God, what is God? God is a spirit. Right? So we're trying to decipher here what we're talking about when we say image of God. When man is made in the image of God. God is a spirit. We see that in Genesis 1 verse 2. We see it also in John 4:24 where it says God is a spirit. And they that worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. Okay, so God is a spirit. And we see God is a God that what? God thinks, right? We see that in Genesis. We see that God is a God that thinks. That God is a God that speaks. That God is a God that wills. And that God is a God that acts upon what He has thought or what He has reasoned. Okay, these are the attributes of God that we see spelled out so clearly in Genesis chapter 1, and we see how that is really how man was created, right? Man was created with what? He was created with reason. He was created able to think and to reason through things. He has also been created to speak. Now, when we start looking here a little bit farther, we're going to start looking at how man differs from animals. Okay, now, and I know everybody that sits here is probably thinking, man, this is like academic, this is really kind of lower academic stuff. But I'm telling you, in this world, when we go out here in this world, that everything in this world is pointing against this. Everything is directing our attention to something else. And that is that man was not created in the image of God. That man was really created, how? It wasn't. It just came into being, and that we have evolved from an animal. Okay? That's so far off, it's blasphemy. Man is created in the image of God, and this is what we're looking at. Man has the ability to think. Man has the ability to speak. Man has the ability to will. And man has the ability to act upon what he is thinking. Okay, he has the ability to act upon his reason. So these are the points by which man conforms to God, right? So Adam conformed, and when we look at how Adam was made, we see that Adam was made in perfect conformity to that, right? We see that when Adam was put in the garden, Adam was given the ability to think, and his thoughts or his reasons were directly aligned with God's thoughts and God's reasons. Why? Because he was a man that walked with God. He was in perfect harmony with God. That's how he was brought into the garden. That's how he was created. And his speech was perfectly aligned with God. The things that he spoke were the things that God would speak. Right? I mean, he was aligned with God. He was aligned in his will. His will was aligned with God's will because his reason was aligned with God's reason. So all of it lined up. Everything about Adam lined up with how God thought. And so his actions lined up. Right? That's how he was created. He was created perfect. He was created in the image of God. Well, what happened at the fall? We just read. Warren just went through what happened at the fall. Right? What did happen at the fall? We died spiritually. The Lord God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you what? You shall surely die. Okay? So when they partook of the fruit, yes, they were deceived by Satan. Yes, Eve was seduced and she was deceived by Satan. But yet Adam took of that fruit and he ate of that fruit. And therefore they fell. They died spiritually. Therefore, their reason and their thinking became what? Totally against God. Okay? That's what happened at the fall. Our thinking became not that it was aligned with God. It's totally different. So now it's said of us, what? There is a way that seems right unto man. His thinking seems right to me. My thinking seems right to myself, naturally speaking. But the way of that is going to end up in death. The only way of life is going to be that if my thinking is lined up with God's thinking. If my will is lined up with God's will. If my actions are lined up with God's actions. You see, and that's the only way that can happen is if I am converted. This doesn't happen by a decision that I make. I'm not going to make a decision and say, I'm going to will myself to do what is right. My will, if you ever read Luther's Bondage of the Will, that book right there is telling us that the reason why our will is in bondage is because our will is bound to our reason. It's bound to our thinking. And our thinking is totally corrupt. It's totally wrong. It's totally against God. That's why over there in 1 Peter, in chapter 2, when we talked about last week, what you remember what we talked about? We talked about how that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that we have been called forth to show forth the praises of his glory that brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the first thing he comes to is that what? We are to abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. Well, naturally speaking, that is not what we want to do. What do we want to do? We want to do just the opposite of that. Our thinking is, naturally speaking, to go completely against that. He goes on to talk about how we are to be as citizens of the country. But yet our thinking of natural man is completely against that. So he teaches us how we are to think. And he shows us how we are to think as God's people. Therefore, in order to be now after the image of God, what must be done? What must happen? We must be put in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be saved. We must be converted. We must be born again. So all these things point to that. The carnal mind, it is what? It is at enmity with God, right? It is totally against God. The carnal mind can't understand the things of the Spirit. Why? Because it's carnal. And in order for it to understand the things of the Spirit, it must be made to understand. We must be given a heart to understand and to be brought out of this. So as we look at this a little farther, just let's remember that. So man is created with reason. Man is created with speech. Man is created with will. And he is created with power to act upon his will. Unfortunately, now in the fall, natural man is what? He is bent towards what is wrong, what is not according to God's word. What's the difference, really, as we just kind of stop and look at this for a minute? We just read about God creating the fish and the fowls, and we see him creating the animals on the earth. And so what really is the differences? And I just kind of want to bring this back down a little bit closer here to home and try to figure out exactly what the difference is between man and animals. And we say, oh, well, yeah, there's a lot of difference. But unfortunately, in this world that we live in, and like I said before, the worldview that we are living in is that man wants to, for some reason, make man an animal. I mean, that's what we're really being taught, right? Is that man is just an evolved animal. And so, but what is the major differences? And I look around this room and I see a lot of dog lovers. Okay, we have a dog. We have Annie. She's been living with us for 7 years now and in the house with us. I'm not going to say I love the dog. I don't love animals. I like the dog. Okay. I save that word for humans. Right? Okay, and I look around this room, though, and I see a lot of people that really, really like dogs. I mean, Andrew's going to be a dog trainer, and we got Krista, she's got a bunch of dogs. We were over there the other day and saw them. So we got a bunch of puppies back there. So we have a lot of people like dogs. So I'm going to use this illustration of dogs for a moment, and what's the difference between dogs and humans? And I'm just going to use Fido for an example. Okay? So that'll be just kind of representative of all of our favorite dog. Okay? Fido. Well, listen, Fido does not have the ability to reason about things other than food and where he's going to sleep at night. I mean, if you sit and you observe your dog and it's just laying on the ground and it's looking off into nowhere, I guarantee you he's not thinking about spiritual things. That dog is not contemplating God. He is not contemplating, I know it might be funny to you, but we need to see this, that he is not laying there contemplating about retirement. He's not. He's not thinking about dying. He's not thinking about life after death. He's not thinking about anything like that. He's just, what is he thinking about? Just think about, you know, is my food going to be that fish stuff this week? Or is it going to be maybe I'm going to get some, you know, buffalo stuff? Or what am I going to get this week? You know, that's what he's thinking about. Or when am I going to get let out to go to the bathroom? Or stuff like that. I mean, that's what the dog is thinking. He's not thinking about great weighty matters. Okay. Now, I know there are a lot of similarities between myself and Fido, maybe. Fido likes to eat. I like to eat. You know, Fido likes to sleep in a certain place. I like to sleep in a certain place. You know, but there are so many more differences that it is, we could just go on and on. But he cannot think of things on a spiritual level. That's number one. Number two is that he does not have relationships like we do, right? Doesn't have that kind of relationships that we have. And when you look at the animal kingdom, what do you see? You see, like, you would observe a lion. And a lion would go out, and you may see that if he gets in a fight with another lion, he just kills him. And there's no police coming. There's nothing happening there. Why? It's because that takes place in the animal kingdom. That doesn't happen with us, does it? I mean, there's laws against that, right? I mean, the police are going to come. They're going to come. So we need to understand that there are differences. And the reason why I bring this up is because the other day, when I was driving down the road, I saw a bumper sticker on the back of this lady's car, and it said, "My child is a dog." Either she's being very mean to her child, and her child's a very homely child, which I don't think that's the case, or she really believes that her child is a dog. Now, I know that we might sit here and think, "Now, that's funny and all," but this is what's happening in this world that we live in. Do you want to know why abortion is what it is? You want to know why that's a problem? It's because there's this whole breakdown of separation between the animal world and us, humans, mankind. Mankind was formed in the image of God. That dog wasn't. That dog's just a dog. That's all it is. I'm not saying in any way that we should be cruel to animals. What are we to be? We're to be stewards of all of God's creation. We are not to be cruel to animals unless it's a pig and we're trying to get it into a trailer. I mean, that's got to be in the scripture somewhere. Okay? But we are not to be cruel to animals. We are not to do that. Okay? Because we are to be stewards of what God has placed us over. Okay? But yet we must realize that a dog is a dog. A orangutan is an orangutan. And that we have been made after the image of God. That's called the Imago Dei. Okay? That's what theologians have called this for years, is the Imago Dei. It's that we are created after the image of God. We were walking through the zoo the other day, and we went past the gift shop, and right there in the gift shop, there was a shirt that said 97.9% orangutan. Okay? And there's people wearing that shirt around. No. There's no part of a human that's an orangutan. All right? This is what the world's going to try to infiltrate. It's going to try to, and I know, it sounds funny. But that's what the world is teaching. And it's going to change. It changes everything. It changes everything. When we do look at abortion, what's happening there? It's an Imago Dei issue. It's an understanding of this. Made in the image of God. It's an issue that has been, what are they looking at those babies like? You know, before, just not long ago, they would say that that fetus or that child that was just conceived wasn't human. I mean, that's how they got around it. They say, well, it's not human. It's not alive. It's not able to do the things that humans can do. So therefore, when we murder it or we kill it, we're not really killing a human. But now they know better than that. They see science has proved that fetus and that at conception, it has a DNA strand. It's got everything that would make it a human being, a live human being. So now what are they doing with it? They're saying, well, the mother is more important than the child. That the mother's rights are more than that little baby. We need to be able to decipher between a mother's rights and this little infant's rights. That's complete blasphemy against this idea of the Imago Dei. That baby, that infant, is a little child that is made after the image of God. And to put that mother over that child is wrong. It's wrong. It's the same thing as if I were to be standing back and I'm watching my house burn down, okay? And little Samuel's in there and the dog's over there in the crate and I run in and I grab the dog. So people are going to look at, oh, what are you doing? No, we go for Samuel. Right? That's universal. We're going to go get Samuel out. Right? Or if I'm standing there and the dog's only left in there and there's a firefighter standing beside me that has a family and I expect him to go get the dog. Am I putting the dog over him? Am I making his life the same value as that dog, that's wrong. That's wrong. That dog's an animal. It's not a human. It's not made after the image of God. And we need to realize this as we go into the world, because the world's teaching us completely different. The world's trying to infiltrate this idea that we evolved. Evolution is just that's what the world is trying to teach. And it's wrong. We are said here in the next part of Genesis, we need to move on. Genesis chapter 1 here in verse 26. It says, and let them, okay, so let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The relationship of man over creation is what? It is one of sovereignty. Right? We have been given rule. We've given dominion over the animals. This is why it's for me to go in to the restaurant and order a steak. It's not just everybody's just, right? I mean, I can eat a steak. I can eat bacon. Sausage. I can eat all these things because these animals have been put here on this earth. And we have dominion over them. We have rule over them. But it is the capacity. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to hear this. It is the capacity of right thinking, of right speaking, of right willing and right acting. And it is out of a knowledge of holiness. It is out of knowledge of righteousness in which man resembles God, and that gives him the ability to have dominion over God's creation. Okay? Without that, what are we going to see? We're going to see a total breakdown. What have we saw? We have saw a breakdown. We have saw this collapse, really. You know, when we look at this country and what this country was founded upon, when we look at the Constitution of the United States, and when we view that, we see that what these men did is they took their ideas from where? They didn't just sit down and start coming up with ideas on their own. They took these ideas directly from the Scripture. But these were fallible men. They were men in the flesh, and so what do we see? We see slavery being part of early America, right? We see that being a part of early America. So they missed the Imago Dei in that. Right? They missed it there because they were thinking some way that there is a master race. In some way that there is a race that's better than this man, and we can actually put this man in chains and treat him like an animal. No, that's wrong. That's a direct affront against the Imago Dei. That man, that slave, is a man created in the image of God. And therefore we have to treat him as such. Not as an animal. Not as an animal. When we look into the past, we see that that is exactly what evolution leads to. It leads to these men that were just atrocious, really. They were just vile, like Hitler and these other men that treated men, other races, as if they were inferior, and they went out to destroy them. That's an affront on the Imago Dei. It is. And so when we do that, when we look at the laws, though, that were created in this country, we see that they went to the Word of God for the most part, and that they were trying to stick with the Word of God as they made up these laws. And so we see that there was this idea that man was created in the image of God. But now what do we see happening to all the laws of this land? It's just a direct affront on them. When you see what is happening in the United States when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the idea that it is one man and one woman that makes up a marriage, what are we seeing happening to that? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you something. Romans chapter 1. We say, well, what's going to happen when this breaks down? What's going to happen when this idea of the Imago Dei, when this idea of being created in the image of God. What's going to happen when this breaks down? Well, let me read to you what happens. Starting with verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. And as we read this, I just want you to think about what we're seeing in America, what we're seeing take place in America as this breaks down. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So what were they doing? They were taking the God of all creation, that one that is all glory, all power, all might, that we are created in his image. And what were they doing? They were making his image out to be a four-footed beast. They were making his image out to be themselves. All right? And so, let's read on. Verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Remember 1 Peter 2:9? Remember the first thing Peter says? What's going to happen? What do we need to do? We need to abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. But what does Paul write here? He said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And don't believe it for a second that you are above that. Without the grace of God in our lives, without God's restraining hand of grace in our lives, everybody here in this room, that's exactly where we go. Exactly. And we need to pray to God that he will not remove his hand of grace from us. And we know that we are his people. He won't. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. What do we see taking place? We see this idea of worshiping the created, right? We talked a little bit last week about the autonomous self and what that's all about. That the autonomous self is one who will make up laws for himself that are good for himself, right? And that's the law that he walks by. And isn't that what we see happening? Is men going to the Word of God, or are they're just saying to themselves, okay, this seems right. This looks good. You know, this is the way that seems right to man. Okay, and this is what these men are doing here in verse 25. And then listen at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. What is this world teaching our young men to be? Teaching them to be women. Just honestly. And it's teaching young women to assert the role of man and to be man. All you got to do is turn on TV. All you got to do is turn on a Disney show, and you're going to find out that's exactly what they're teaching. They're teaching that young women need to be men. Now, what does the Bible teach? That man has a role? That role is defined in Scripture. It is shown in Scripture what the role of man is to be. It teaches the role of women. It is not a degrading role. It is a glorious role. We need to be teaching that. As God's people, we need to be teaching young women that the role that they have in the Scriptures is a glorious role. They're called to be keepers at home. They are called to be those that teach their children. They are called to be those that have been called to bear children. These are things that man can't do. Don't ever think as a young lady that for some reason the Bible has put you in a place where you can't just be what you... Being a mother, and you ask these mothers here, they'll tell you that's the most glorious thing there is. It's the most glorious thing there is. Man can't do that. But we can do other things, right? We read it in the scripture, what we are to be. And that's where we get this. We must get it from the scripture. We can't go out here in the world and try to find out, okay, let's find out what Oprah's got to say, or let's find out what Joel Osteen's got to say about what man and women ought to be. No, they're going to tell you something completely different. Because they're following after the world. We need to be looking into the Word of God and for what He says about what we are to be. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You think America's going to get better? Is it going to get better? Not unless there's a revival. Not unless the Lord comes to this country with great power and reveals Himself. And that moon, right? That moon becomes so bright. The church becomes so bright that it lights up this darkness that's in this world. There needs to be a revival in this country. And as we look at this, we went through these all in Danville. I preached on every one of these words. But it says in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is exactly where the breakdown in the Imago Dei, and the breakdown in us seeking after the Word of God, men not seeking after God, not seeking after what He says, this is where it's going to lead. That's where it's going to lead. Now, very practically, I just want to very practically go into something here this morning. Okay, we only have a few minutes left. I want to talk to the young men and the young women, okay, in the congregation. Very practically speaking, what is it when I talk to the young ladies first, what you are made in the image of God. Okay? Now I know that this image is marred. It is so really far off now after the fall that it is unseen really. And so what has to happen? Well, you need to know the Lord. You need to know the Lord. We need to pray as adults, as parents, we need to pray for our children that they would come to know the Lord. That they would see Him, that they would understand knowledge, true knowledge. And we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that, right? But as young ladies, I want you to remember that you are made after the image of God. And that I know as fathers, you're going to hear a lot about the clothing you wear. I'm just being very practical. You're going to hear a lot about the clothing that you wear, and there's a reason for that. It is because that the clothing that you wear reflects exactly what you think is valuable about yourself. Okay? I want you to get this. Because when you go out in this world, what you're going to see out in this world is you're going to see a lot of young ladies dressing in a way that they are reflecting exactly what they feel is valuable to a young man. Right? You're gonna see that. I'm just being very practical to you, with you. Okay? So what we need to be about is we need to understand that our value lies in the image that we are made in, the image of God, and therefore it is reason that you can rightly divide the Word of God, that you seek after God, that you know God. These are the things that are valuable in your life. Your speech, that you can articulate what God has done in your life. The will that God has made you willing in the day of His power to serve Him, to be one that loves the Lord. And also that you have a working faith. These are the things that are valuable in your life that you are going to bring to a young man. All right? That's why we harp on your clothing. because your clothing needs to be a what? It needs to be a framework for your face. That's exactly what it needs to be. Because therein lies what? All these things. Reason, speech, will, power. Young men, what do you hold valuable in a young woman? What is the value of a young woman? I'm going to tell you exactly what it ought to be. It ought to be in her reason. Does she know the Lord? Does she know the Lord? Is she one that seeks after God? Is she that? Does her speech talk about the Lord? Does she speak about the Lord in her conversation? Does she do that? Has she been made willing in the day of His power to serve Him? Does she have a working faith? These are the things that you need to be seeking after in your life. And I'm just going to say again to the young ladies, and I know that you've heard this over and over, I'm sure your parents have said this over and over in your lives, is that you do not want a young man who is a moron that can shave. You don't want that. What you want is a young man that seeks after God, that is seeking for these things in life. And you are valuable in the fact that you have been made after the image of God. And the way that you dress reflects that value. All right? So we need to think about these things. We need to think about these things. And it goes completely against what the world is teaching. The world's not teaching that. You can just go out here and just go out here anywhere and look. And you're going to find out real quickly that the world is not teaching that. They're not showing that. Even in the church, they're not teaching that anymore. I'm not being legalistic. I'm not. I'm just telling you that you have a value way above what this world is portraying. Your value lies in something else. It lies in the fact that you've been made in the image of God. And young men, that's what you need to be seeking after. You need to be seeking after that.